I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Everybody! Always a little bit nostalgic when we have Aaron Schatz on the line. Happy to have him. Aaron with Football Outsiders joins us now on the Wester Hotline. Aaron, how's life?
Hey, life is good, man. Busy, busy, busy working on the preseason book.
All right. Well, we'll talk a lot of football here, but I do want to ask you a question for all the times you've been on. I think I've never asked you before. And that is, if you go to Aaron's Twitter page, you see him sitting with Seth Meyers on the set of Seth Meyers' late night show on NBC. Aaron, with all due respect, how the heck did that happen? All right. Like, how did you end up on that show?
Seth Meyers is one of my Twitter followers. He's a regular buyer of the Football Outsiders Almanac, one of our readers, and so I reached out to him, to be on the show 2 years ago.
And he was like, let's do it. I mean, he obviously was up for that.
Yeah, definitely. Got me in touch with the bookers, and we did the show. It was great. It was a lot of fun. One of the most fun things I've done.
Howie Mandel was on that night. Did you get to interact with him?
No, it's a surprise. I didn't realize. I thought it would be like when I'd done like ESPN stuff where everybody's sitting in the same green room, but when you do like a big show like that, everybody gets their own dressing room. So I never even interacted with the other guests.
And also, a Senator Tammy Duckworth was also on that show. And
yep,
I'm seeing that now. And so Seth Meyers, like I feel like if he follows you, he really knows the NFL.
Yeah, he's a huge Steelers fan.
So he impressed. Did you know that already? Like, did you know that he was like knowledgeable and an avid fan before he went on there? Or did you get a chance to talk to him and maybe find out more about that?
Yeah, he'll ask me questions about the Steelers sometimes in direct messages, like what I think about what moves they've made and stuff.
I wonder what he does with that information. You think he just puts it in his pocket, or does he, I don't know, I wonder.
But brags at cocktail parties.
Given the way Steelers fans are, he probably kind of agonizes over it, because the Steelers are like the one fan base that instead of always arguing that their team is better than you say they are, they always seem to be arguing that their team is worse than you say they are.
What a nice problem to have as a fan. What is that? What is that? That's like an alternate universe from where we've been living for, I don't know, our entire adult lives, Aaron.
And it's not even fans of all really good teams are like that, but it's something about Steelers fans that I've found.
That's so interesting. I wonder why, too. Like, they are the ones who the Pittsburgh fans will argue that their team is worse than, because then I guess you'd have to flip it and be like, guys who say, I hate your team, you'd be like, I actually love the Steelers. You'd have to flip that.
Look, we're going to it for this year. Our numbers like the Steelers more than conventional wisdom again. So
yeah.
Oh, here we are. I'm going to be waving the flag for the Steelers again. And the Steelers fans are going to be like, oh no, our team is falling apart. Look at all the drama that we had this offseason. No more Antonio Brown. No more this. No more that. I mean, you know, no more Le'Veon Bell, but they almost made the playoffs last year, and they didn't have Le'Veon Bell last year. So
right.
I think their defense, they've got a lot of talent on defense. And on offense, you know, Roethlisberger's getting a little older, but, you know, with like a lot of these older quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, obviously Brady and Breeze, like we're still waiting for him to fall off the cliff. It's
right.
Going to happen at some point, but it's hard to predict that this is the year for any of those guys.
Well, how do you think they will, like, getting past Bell is one thing. We've probably talked with you dozens of times about running backs and their value and how replaceable even the very best guys can be and still not really alter overall team performance that dramatically. How about Antonio Brown? You know, they're not exactly bereft of receivers, but Brown might be the best, and he's gone. So how do you think they offset that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, that's a hard one to overcome. I think their offense is not going to be as good as it was last year because Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in the league, and you don't just snap your fingers and replace that. That way, you know, that being said, they still have a number one receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster. So they've got guys waiting in the wings like James Washington. they should be able to still have a strong passing game. It's probably not going to be as strong without Antonio Brown. But one of the things that they still have is offensive line continuity. They're going to have a new right tackle this year, but the rest of that offensive line has played together 4 or 5 years without missing a lot of time.
Roethlisberger led the league, maybe by a lot, in attempts last year. Roethlisberger threw more than double the number of passes last year Josh Allen did. And I know Josh Allen didn't start every week, but 320 attempts for the Bills quarterback. Roethlisberger, 675. I mean, how can you?
Oh my God.
How can we go? Yeah, he's in decline or whatever. Like when you're throwing like this, that's a, maybe even his career high. It's a crazy number. That's more than 40 a week.
Projections for this year. I think our projections, early projections that I've done, we would have probably Roethlisberger with at least 150 more pass attempts than Allen. It's just a very different offense.
Yeah. Right. So how about the Bills, Aaron? I think this year I've detected so far more optimism from the sort of the objective, you know, quotes, the national crowd, a little bit the media. Have you thought that or noticed that, and are you a part of it?
I've noticed a lot of optimism about the moves that the Bills have made in the offseason, that they've made a lot of good moves. And here's the thing. I think they've made a lot of good moves. The problem is that where they were going to be before those moves is not as good as I think where Bills fans think that they would be before those moves. So even after making a lot of good moves, I'm not that optimistic about them. On defense, it simply comes down to the issue of defense being much less consistent than offense, right? So this team was really lifted by its defense. They were second or third in our defensive ratings last year, and they're likely not going to be that good again. And not it's nothing about the personnel. It's just because of how defense is in the NFL. It's just inconsistent from year to year. And on offense, I'm just, again, we go back to the same problem that we have every time I've spoken to you guys for the last year, which is I'm just not a Josh Allen believer. I do not think that there is an NFL starting quarterback in there waiting to come out and develop. And if I'm wrong, then, I mean, you know, they've done a lot to give him help. But if I'm right, then they're still in trouble.
Mm-hmm. How are you? I'm not sure. I'm not meaning to rush to this question, but how are you on schedules? We have, as always, the strength of schedule ratings based on last year's record, and or even other guys are taking that up a level, incorporating moves and everything. But like the AFC East teams have, it's thought, as far as we can tell, the weaker schedules this year based on the division matchups. What is that something you respect?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I have to respect that idea as much as I respect my own projections, right? Because we do projections, and thus we do schedule strength based on our projections. Now, we know that our projections are not going to be completely accurate. We're going to be wrong about some teams, and therefore our projection of schedule strength is going to be wrong about some teams. But our projection of schedule strength is as good as our team projections are. And when you look at our team projections, we absolutely have Buffalo with one of the easier schedules in the league. So we have them with more average wins in a season than you would get from a team with a similar overall rating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's one of the reasons why, like, I know that defense fluctuates. Like, I think Mike might have learned that from you initially, and like we've talked about it many, many times with you, and then just on our regular show, Aaron. But the level of opposition would lend itself to think, I think, at least on the surface, from my view, that the defense has a reasonable chance of being pretty good because they're not facing really dominant offenses.
I don't have a difference between the offense and defense schedules in front of me, but yeah, I mean, look, Miami is our projected worst team in the league. The Jets, are about in the same place Buffalo is, as far as, an easy schedule
right.
will make them look better than they are. And they've got a lot of pieces that could come together, but might not. And then you've got the teams they play. I mean, Washington and the Giants are a mess. So that, I mean, Washington's not a mess, but, rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's sort of a mess on purpose, I guess, because they want to, they want Haskins to learn. And I'm assuming that Haskins is going to be starting the whole year. If he's not starting the whole year, he'll be starting from pretty early on, I'm guessing. And then the other division that they play is the
North, AFC North.
North. Okay, well, that's a good division. I mean, that's you know, Cleveland's going to be better this year. Pittsburgh's going to be better than people generally think they are. Baltimore is still a good team. But overall, the Buffalo schedule, yeah, the Buffalo schedule comes out.
You mentioned the Giants. Just real quick, Aaron, are you enjoying the Giants as much as everybody else with Gettleman and all the different things?
He really has set himself up as the arch rival of all of us analytics people, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I try not to dabble in Schadenfreude, so I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, allow me to, like, take joy out of the Giants fans' misery. I mean, you know, not every team gets to be good. Some teams have to be bad, and right now it looks like the Giants are one of those teams. I would hope that they would get things better. I too was shocked by taking Daniel Jones 6th overall. given his, you have to put so much weight on the idea that his college performance was bad because of his lack of teammates and the difficult schedule that Duke played. You have to put so much weight on those two things to believe that he is a top 10 pick. I can't imagine those two things being that important.
Right. There's not only like making the selection, but, and maybe Gettleman was just, I've said before that it almost sounded like he was trolling everyone, talking about just how casually he arrived at the decision. That's how he depicted it anyway. He went to the Senior Bowl, watched a couple of drives, and fell in love. And like, wow, that just does not sound like how I'd want to choose my quarterback.
They're going to do the Aaron Rodgers plan, and they were going to leave him on the bench for 3 years. Nobody leaves a rookie quarterback on the bench for 3 years in the modern NFL. I mean, you ask me, of the three quarterbacks taken in the first round, who's going to play the fewest games this year? I think it's Jones, right? Like, my guess is that Jones doesn't come in until, like, December. But, you know, it's once you've got that rookie, you turn the team over to him. You know, you don't wait 3 years or whatever. And, hey, listen, it was a good pick for Buffalo fans, because it's one of the reasons why they were able to get Oliver.
Right.
Right? Oliver was, mm-hmm. pick was that?
Nine.
So if it wasn't for the players that got taken 6, 7, and 8 not being Oliver, Buffalo would have not gotten Oliver. And listen, I mean, like I said, despite the fact that I expect regression from the defense, it doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the moves that the team made in the offseason, and Oliver was a great pick.
What did you think of the 12 hours or less or whatever we had where it looked like the Bills were getting Antonio Brown? Did you go ahead and process that? I doubt you did numbers on it, but like what should that have meant? What would that have meant to them?
I mean, it would have been a sweet add. It would have been a sweet addition. I what can you say? I guess he's one of the, I think even after last year's sort of down year, you have to think that he's one of the 10 best receivers in the league. That would have been a really big plus. You know, I mean, the difference between a guy who's really done it, like Antonio Brown, and a guy who, God, he's always been the guy that we think is going to do it, like John Brown, is a big difference. But I didn't count my chickens before they hatched.
Okay. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders. Speaking of the quarterbacks drafted, Kyler Murray, what do you expect?
Well, it's interesting because our projection system is still based pretty heavily on experience for top prospects, and it's hard to know what to expect when you have guys like Murray and Haskins who have 1 year of starting experience.
Right.
The number of quarterbacks in the NFL taken in the first two rounds who have only 1 year of starting experience, like, it's not that it's a bad group; it's that it's basically a non-existent group. I mean, you're talking about, like, Mitch Trubisky, Brock Osweiler, Mark Sanchez. I mean, you have to go back to guys like Matt Blunden in 1992 to start finding guys with 1 year of starting experience. The other thing is, it's interesting trying to project Arizona's fantasy stats, because you have, on one hand, Kyler Murray, who you expect to run the ball a lot. On the other hand, I don't know if there's a head coach in college football who is as pass-centric as Cliff Kingsbury. So how are you going to sort of balance those two things? I think we're going to expect Murray to throw the ball more than most people expect, just because that's just how Kingsbury does it.
We had Mike Clay on this week, and he told us how Murray, he knew that Murray was aware of his projections on him, and that was about 100 rushes. And Murray told him, it's going to be way more than that. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, we actually have less than that because we're trying to think of how Cliff Kingsbury calls an offense. But you don't know because Cliff Kingsbury's never had a player like this. It's very difficult to sort of figure out where you get the balance between Kingsbury, his scheming on one hand, and Murray's abilities on the other.
Right. What do you expect the Gronkowski effect to be in New England?
I mean, I think it hurts them. We don't have them as our number one team in the AFC for the first time in many years going into the season. There's no question that that's a big loss. You know, was their offense going to suddenly fall apart? No. But if you look back at the last 4 or 5 years, like, there's no question. Brady's numbers are not as good without Gronkowski in the lineup. And they're not really replacing him. I mean, Benjamin Watson is 38 years old. That is not a replacement.
You have Kansas City one?
We have the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, is that right?
Wow, all right.
That's kind of cool.
The Chiefs, too. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think with the Chiefs, you've got to, I mean, the defense is still looks like a bit of a mess. And your offense, we're expecting a little bit of regression because just they were so extreme last year. But also, we don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill, but we're figuring they're going to lose him for at least half the season.
Right.
All right. You mentioned the Browns a little bit ago. Are you big on that being like a home run? Like, is that a team that is projecting as like a 10 or 11 win team, or is that a little too fast?
I think it's Jeff Schwartz, the former NFL tackle, who said on Twitter that there's no value in the Browns over-under at this point because it's not like you're predicting that they'll be bad, but their over-under is like 9. And as many talented players as they've added, like, how can you predict that the average of their possibilities is higher than that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're sort of along those same lines. Like, we're going to end up with Pittsburgh higher than Cleveland. I think we're going to end up with Cleveland as the 6th or 7th team in the AFC. And Pittsburgh is 3rd or 4th. But I mean, I love what Cleveland's doing. I think they're building a wonderful team. I think they're getting a lot of talent, but we expect some regression from their defense, which had a lot of turnovers last year. That tends to regress towards the mean from year to year. There is going to be, I think, improvement on the offense, but, you know, they were so good in the second half of the year last year on offense. But in general, teams that improve that much on offense in the second half of the year, it doesn't carry over as much to the following year as you would expect. Like, it's much easier to predict how good they'll be on offense based on all 16 games of last year rather than just the last 8.
That's a really important point, I think, and any, for anybody who's trying to figure stuff out. You know, like, and the Bills had some good days late in the season last year. They played weak teams in that stretch, and I think that's a really important thing. And by the way, since you mentioned over-under in the Browns, I remember now that a couple of years ago, their over-under was 4, and I'm like, being the somewhat of a slave to projections as I am, come on, 4. Like, that's nothing to win 4. I bet Aaron would say they'll probably win at least 4 games because the worst teams probably will do that, and they, you know, 0-16, so I lost on that.
Right. Yeah, I think Hugh Jackson was a bad coach to an almost unmatched degree. That team was not bad enough to go 0-16, but they went 0-16 anyway.
What's Miami? Like, what kind of number would you need to bet under on Miami?
To bet under on Miami, I think we have their average season now at 4.4 wins.
All right.
I mean, they're the worst team by a fairly good margin.
That's about what Cleveland might have been a couple years ago. That's probably probably close to that. Interesting.
Oh, we won't have any team that is as good, predicted to be as good as Miami is predicted to be bad.
Okay, there it is. Aaron, any questions for us?
No, man, it's always good to talk to you guys. It's always good to hear how Bills Nation is thinking.
Thank you. I mean, it's kind of a thing. Like, here we are, three of us. Here we are, right? I mean, all these years, we still talk once in a while. Used to be more, and things are kind of the same as ever. I mean, it's just really how little it's changed in whatever it is. It could be more than a decade since we started calling you. I mean, it really just has not changed at all.
Listen, I would love, for Bill's fan's sake, I would love to be wrong about Allen, right? And I mean, it would be wonderful if they could build the team that takes over when the Patriots, you know, when Brady and Belichick finally retire. That would be great for those fans to have that happiness. But, I mean, at this point, as far as, like, pulling for a fan base that hasn't had a lot of happiness in a long time, all three of the other AFC East teams sort of
right.
that. So
that's right.
I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have some happiness. Because the Patriots are not going to keep going like until the end of time.
See, this again is something he could have said in 2012 to us.
I marked the date this year. It was right after the draft. Mike said, Brady's not going to be good forever. Like, one of us always gets there in the spring, and it's just like for years and years and years, probably a good 10 years, we've been saying it that way, and here we are.
But
it's true.
It's true, right, but I don't walk around thinking that. Like, more of just the fact that we have 5 days a week to do.
Right, yeah.
It's more just
same,
like
same here, right?
You know, you got to change the words and the sound a little bit now and then, but it's true. It is true. Someday that will be the case. Aaron, have a great holiday weekend. Thanks as always for your time.
All right, talk to you guys probably sooner too when the book comes out in a month or two.
I'd love that. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders on Twitter at @FO_AShatz SChatz. I was looking at some over-unders today. I told you yesterday I was having a conversation with a guy and felt a little bit like I had my pants down for that. I want to make sure that, you know, that doesn't happen again. But I'm not ready to bet them. It is still May. At the same time, most teams are pretty much set.
Yeah, that's right. I heard, have you noticed, I heard Howard say the other day, and I'm not sure if everybody's looking at the same sites here, but the Bills number has crept up to 7.
I looked at it last, like a month ago, and it was 7.
Okay.
On one, I mean, maybe it's going to be different on different sites, too.
All right.
But the last time, this would have been yesterday, 7 and like minus 115 for the over, which is basically, it's kind of 50-50 with 7. 803-0550 is...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Our number, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
You always want to be in the big leagues and you dream of it. And, you know, when it becomes a possibility, you obviously think about it. And then when it happens, you don't know what it's going to be like. You can't really picture it. And, you know, it just kind of, I guess you could say, caught me off guard. Just trying to get better every day in AAA and then, you know, get the call. It's pretty cool.
Kevin Biggio, there he is, doing really well for the Bisons and called up to Toronto. You just heard he's in the lineup tonight as the Blue Jays host their arch nemesis, the San Diego Padres. Throw out the record books. Are there any record books?
I don't know. They're expecting a big crowd, so he probably won't play.
That's funny.
Sorry. I don't know.
The easily most significant thing I would say between those two teams is the trade we talked about the other day where you remembered Tony Fernandez was in that trade, and I went, no, he wasn't, because he was back in Toronto
in
later.
Yeah,
but
right.
He did go to San Diego, the Joe Carter trade, Roberto Alomar, Fred McGriff. That's pretty good. And now these teams can settle it on the field, finally. Who got the better of that trade
right.
in 1990?
You definitely want to, in some way, recognize how I'm going to imagine that maybe San Diego's been there before.
Toronto?
Yeah. They don't have to have been, I suppose, right? Has everyone been everywhere since interleague play's come in?
Has everyone been everywhere? Probably. I don't know. I want to guess. Yes.
Probably by now, right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
But maybe not.
But even if you have, I think you still want to, with them in town, you got a chance to like sort of pat yourself on the bay, remember this trade, like just, you know, sort of recognize that on the Jumbotron, like show some highlights, like the trade.
Sure.
And like, I mean, it's a, you know, these two teams are connected in this way, and I think you want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you don't want to show how good you used to be while you're having this bad year and everyone's mad at you because you didn't play your most exciting guy on Monday.
No, it's okay. This is nice, though. Like, these guys, these prospects, are top prospects. They're names because of their fathers. Kind of right. Cool like that. Devon White was on this show last Friday. We talked about that a little bit. You know, the Blue Jays in that trade get Joe Carter, who hits a World Series winning home run for them, and Roberto Alomar, whose number is like retired there, and his name hangs at the rafters,
goes
like
to the Hall of Famer. Right.
Like, you know, that's pretty good.
It's a hard score to beat in a trade.
McGriff should be in the Hall of Fame, I believe. And Fernandez, who went back to Toronto, maybe he even deserves it. Now it's all like different because now, and I don't say this lightly or sarcastically at all, like now we think we know how good guys in the past actually were. Now we think we have measurements of that, as opposed to in the past where we settled for maybe seeing them play, probably most of the time, you know, box scores, which, you know, ooh, this guy pitched 7 innings and gave up 3 hits and no runs. Therefore, he was great. Or maybe a lot of loud outs and maybe a team bunch of guys missed their pitches because the guy was hittable. But
and it was a getaway day. And
who knows?
Were just hacking to get on the bus and get the hell out of there.
Yeah, like you really got to know this stuff. You really got to have it now. I love that about sports now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you liked it the old way. A lot of people did. What do you need to know stuff for? Why do we need that? Why do we need to know anything?
Let me spin a yarn for you. I like stories better.
Wasn't it all just better when we just said certain guys, the winners right. wanted it more?
Right, sure.
Has Joe invited you into his new league yet?
I'm very, very heartbroken to say no.
I just assumed Bulldog was going to be in, so I thought I could get to him later.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're holding a spot for him?
Yeah, smart. Yeah. Smart. Yeah.
His spot's already written in pencil.
Is there any way?
No.
Hear me out. I had 3 cups of coffee. I might be unreasonable right now, and that could work in favor of
this. Would be the time to try to convince
you. Yeah, yes. Yeah, or I might explode in a fit of rage. Either way, the show wins.
It is Fantasy Friday too. I would say
I am not endorsing that that subtitle on the show. The marquee. I'm not here for that.
So it's an Empire League.
Okay, what the hell does that mean?
With contracts.
Okay.
So,
is that what the Empire designation means?
No. Contracts is added on top. So Empire League is essentially a dynasty league where a certain amount of the pot each year goes to, what do we call it, the Empire pot?
A separate pot. Hang on, my eye's starting to twitch.
So that separate pot.
I think that's blood.
It grows and grows. No one gets that separate pot, and it keeps building over time until somebody wins 2 years in a row.
Okay.
And then the league starts over, or the league ends.
The league ends and you start over,
right?
If that ever happens.
And whoever won it twice in a row gets the pot from that year and plus that big, enormous pot that's probably been growing for years.
Right.
I love this so much.
Okay.
I love this so much.
Who's the founder of the Empire League? Do we know? Is someone getting credit
creator?
For this? Or did you come up with this yourself? No, right?
No, the idea I definitely did not
know.
Okay,
all right. All right.
No, right. But this is going to be Joe's league.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I like Joe.
So that's all you need.
I mean, that's a good start.
I
hate fantasy football, but I like Joe.
Have I mentioned how much I love this? Think about this. Let's say you have, let's say it's 12 teams, right? And it costs $100. It probably will cost at least $100. Let's say it's 12 teams and it costs $100.
You haven't decided how much it costs yet?
No, but around there.
Okay.
Ballpark.
All right.
So let's say it's 12 teams, $100. $1,200. $600 goes over there, $600 goes out to the winners. First, second, third, whatever. Then you play again.
$600 goes over there, so now that's $1,200.
That's right.
And if the same guy wins, that's gone
right
away,
sure.
And you start
yeah.
over. But
Which
if
would
it
be
doesn't,
lame if it happened right
if
away,
if it doesn't yeah. happen, then you just keep going.
Yep, keep going.
For who knows how long. I don't think it's crazy to think if you have like a good group, and this will definitely be a good group. I think you're talking of what are the odds that gets to 5 figures at that rate? $600 a year. That would be 17 years. Oof, boy, I'm going to be wait. I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, I mean
17 years.
17 years.
Is that what it is? That right? Well, let's just add a $100 entry fee, which maybe is low, but.
Mm.
if you're putting $600 a year off to the side, you know, you that's a long time. Yes. Well, maybe the odds aren't that great.
It's just got this.
Who was the last NHL team to repeat? Oh, the Penguins.
Yeah.
What about other sports?
I was gonna say the Blackhawks did it too. I think. No, they were 3-6.
Yeah.
And six.
Yeah.
Golden State Warriors.
Have the Red Sox done it?
No, they've not won back to back. They just win like every few years.
Last baseball team to win two in a row?
Isn't it
Yanks?
Torrey's Yankees, yeah.
Is that right? No one has won two in a row since then?
No.
And then
that's more than 17 years. I just did the math.
New England, probably. In the NFL.
Yeah, probably. The 03 and 04. Right? Anyway.
So if that's the longest, that's only 19 years.
So it's a dynasty league, and it's an – but what's the contract part of this?
Oh, so, yeah, contracts. So you essentially – we would work it out where – like Mike's in a league where, depending on where you draft a guy, he either gets a 3-year contract, a 2-year contract, or a 1-year contract. So – like, you don't just get to keep your guys forever. Like, they will be on contracts.
There's that, or you do an auction draft, and the bidding price, the winning bid, is the player's salary. And this one baseball league I'm in has it like that. Every player has a salary from what the auction bid was. And if you keep guys, that goes up $5 every year. So if Saquon Barkley is $50 of play money at this startup draft, and you keep him, he goes, this is a separate from the contract point, but 55, 60, 65 until like it becomes prohibitive. You know, if your budget is whatever, 200 or something for your whole team.
Okay.
So eventually you have to let him go because you can't afford to not.
Did I miss the part earlier in the conversation where the auction was a part of this too? I might have missed that part of it.
I don't know if Joe's going to do an auction. Oh, auctions are so much better.
We don't know. Okay.
No, yeah, it's probably I like the idea of an auction. I've only been in one ever, and it was really fun, and I stunk at it, and I want another shot.
That was the League of Hopes and Dreams last summer.
I'm sorry to be like jumping all over the place in this, but I'm.
He wants
I'm,
in. He's asking.
It's Friday. I'm just killing time here.
Asking questions.
The contract part of it, there's not a cap, there's not a dollar figure assigned to that contract. It's merely just you've got this guy for this long.
Well, there could be, depending if we do an auction. So there could be. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you could do that
ways. It sounds like you don't have a lot of answers now.
Yeah, it's basically an idea. It's an idea at this point. It's definitely it's a framework right now. I've also never been in a contract league, so like I'm kind of relying on people that have been in one for formats on that.
That's Jeremy, I come in.
Well, or Jeremy wants to do offer sheets, I'm sure.
Jeremy wants in.
Yeah,
I bet he's going to want to do that. Joe. The thing that I wonder about is like you're in a league. A lot of people are in dynasty leagues. And this one is set up so that there's a lot more at stake for the person who's the defending champion. How hard is it to prevent a certain team from repeating? Like, how hard is it? You'd have a special incentive to stop the team that won last year. Like, how hard would it be to stop a team from winning a fantasy league? You don't want to trade with them, then you don't trade with them.
Yeah,
but
right.
Do you trade with other people to help those people beat? And what kind of parameters do you put in place to prevent that from getting just too obnoxious? You have to, the guy who won last year has to have some chance, you know? So in this format, like if I can't win it. Jeremy is the defending champ. I just give Joe Saquon Barkley.
Right.
I mean, that's going to be bad for me next year.
Right.
But like, I don't know. Maybe it just sort of works itself out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe it does.
If you want to take the risk that you've got the most valuable player in fantasy football, but you want it to keep going that badly. Like, I don't think that'll happen because you'll be depleting your own team so much that you're almost taking away the incentive to not have Jeremy win. Because your incentive to not have Jeremy win is you want to be the guy that ends up with the big pot. And you are really decreasing your odds of doing that if you're trading one of your top players to keep it going.
I just would love, I'm sure it's out there too. It's for Scott Fish or Paul Charchin, one of these guys. Like, I would just love to see the math on all that. I wonder what the math is on all that. Like, what's my incentive to prevent Team A from repeating because that's the end of the pot and the league. Saquon Barkley is worth nothing to me if you win twice. Like, but, I just lose him forever. I lose start over. Versus like the price of giving the player away or trading the player for a draft pick or something.
Right, but you can't keep doing that year after year.
No, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I would love to see the math on that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know, Joe. It sounds like he's on the hook.
Yeah, let me think about this for a little while. I'll ponder it while I'm slamming 16-ounce beers, staring at the lake tonight.
As long as no one's videotaping
right,
you,
right?
Because you don't want to give a bad image.
Right.
803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe here on WGR.
There's only one more year on it, and I think that actually lines up well with Buffalo because they have another year until, I believe, Reinhardt's up again. That summer is the summer you can start talking about installing into a long-term deal, and some other guys are up. So this is a year where, you know, if you're realistic and you don't think you're a contender, why not try to poach something valuable in addition to taking that Callahan contract off Tampa's hands? It's worth a phone call at least.
Luke Fox, yesterday.
Yep.
One thing about Memorial Day weekend, sports-wise, like it's a baseball weekend. Monday on the station, I guess I should have asked first, but I'm thinking we'll do what we usually do, which is Monday baseball. There will be also Monday the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
And
Game 7
Milwaukee-Toronto if they need it.
Right.
But it's kind of a baseball day. It's also like the big racing weekend of the year.
It's a big racing weekend, that's right. The Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 go on Sunday. And I don't know. I haven't looked this year. I don't think anyone's trying to do both. But there have been drivers who've done both other years, like finish the Indy race and then take a plane quick over to Charlotte and get in the car and go do that race too. But yeah, those are obviously marquee events. I mean, the Indianapolis 500, still, even with all the travails that IndyCar racing has gone through, when NASCAR really started emerging as like the number one in motorsports, the Indianapolis 500, that's still, I usually want to get a look at it.
It's the race. I cared about the Indy 500 when I was a kid. Huge respect if you can name the betting favorite of this year's Indianapolis 500. Huge respect. I was going to say money, but I just wimped out. I was going to offer up a financial reward. I'll give you one of my picks in Joe's Empire League.
I'm going to go with, let's see, I'm going to go with the last name of a famous racing family that has a kid that I've never heard of. So I'm going to, I want the right first name here. Rick Unser.
Here I am cackling. This might be a real person. No. Simon Pagenaud is the favorite, the betting favorite to win the Indianapolis 500. Pagenaud. Simon? What do you think?
I'm going to go with Simon.
Pagenaud. There you go.
All right. What kind of cars he drive? A Dodge?
He drives a Dodge Stratus. And he's naked. He's one of the few guys that doesn't... He's got his underwear on.
That doesn't seem safe.
Yeah.
He's still got the helmet.
He's still got the helmet. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Good point, Joe. All right. So beer is one subject. We'll get back to beer with Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari, the Packers, even Christian Yelich chugging beer at that Milwaukee Bucks game. Bulldog had a take on that I was not expecting, but did appreciate. And the rest of that conversation, we have a little more to talk about with that from last night. Beer. You know, Friday, Memorial Day weekend, 5 o'clock. We'll get some beer into the subject matter here.
Right.
Lines are open for you. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.